Hey y'all, buy my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. Check out the full archive, almost complete, up through last year at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show. The YouTube project, it's finally really a thing. youtube.com/Scott Horton Show. There's your archives for you there, going back to 2003, 4,600 and something. All right, and sign up for the RSS feeds at scotthorton.org and donate to the show at scotthorton.org/donate. $50 will get you a signed copy of Fool's Errand. $100 will get you a silver QR code commodity disc. Any $200 donation to scotthorton.org will get you a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. And I accept all different kinds of digital currencies too. All the addresses are there at scotthorton.org/donate. You can do single or monthly donations by way of PayPal. And also sign up at patreon.com if you want to donate per interview. That's patreon.com/Scott Horton Show. And anybody who donates a dollar or more per interview, you get two free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. All the information is there at scotthorton.org/donate. Also shop amazon.com by way of my link. And give me a good review on iTunes or Stitcher or amazon.com if you've read the book and liked it. Thanks.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
Aren't you guys introducing Brian Sadie? He is the author of a three-book series called Rackets, which is about the legalization of drugs, gambling, and the decriminalization of prostitution as well. And you can check out his website at briansadie.com. It's two A's in Sadie, briansadie.com. And he's on Twitter as well. All right, so very important article. We ran it here at antiwar.com. With the shutdown over, the government can go back to suppressing your rights. Now, I haven't caught up with the latest news this morning. Maybe there's another shutdown again, although those things are mostly meaningless. I know you know that they never stop suppressing our rights just because the government was shut down. What did they shut down? The national parks for a weekend or something? Anyway, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anything that could possibly be considered a service maybe would be suspended in a government shutdown. As Chief Wiggum says on The Simpsons, we're powerless to help you, not to harm you.
I'm not familiar with that one. That one's great. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Marge's like, I thought you said you couldn't do anything for me. He's like, ah, technicality. Okay, so now what are we talking about here? The FISA Reauthorization Act of 2017, extending the controversial Section 702 program. Oh, I think I'm already bored. Make this exciting. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. Let's see. Where do I start? Basically, it had to do with specifically the 702 program. And what that is, that's a program that allows the NSA to monitor different quote-unquote targets. It's no longer a matter of if they're a foreign agent or a terrorist. It's just to look for any sort of foreign intelligence. So that could be, you know, any business person, political activist, et cetera. And most Americans, they have that exact same reaction that, I don't really care. How does this affect me? That's when people really start to care.
Yeah, and as soon as you say Section 702, man, that implies I have to learn about Section 701 and 703 also, right? I don't want to do that.
Well, it gives you an idea of
you're not going to make me read legalese, are you?
Right. It just gives an idea of just how broad their searching and surveilling capabilities are. And again, that's just what's on the books, not what actually goes on in real life.
Yeah.
But so the way that works is, so any American who has contact with any of these quote-unquote targets, and again, it's this incredibly expansive definition of who can be a target, your information is stored in a database there with the NSA. And they have access to look in, listen to your records, read your emails. It's not just a privacy matter, but it's also a law enforcement matter. So the FBI has access to all of this information, which, again, we don't know how long it's stored, potentially forever, and probably is the case. And they can then pass that information forward to whatever law enforcement agency that they think is appropriate. And not only that, if you are charged with a crime from the information that is in that database, they don't have to tell you that that's how that happened. They have this sneaky process that's called parallel construction. It's a nice little lawyerese kind of term, but I think a really good explanation came from a former DEA agent who described the process as money laundering for evidence. So you can disguise the origin of an investigation. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't have a right to that information in a court of law. And just to basically, there's a few things I'd like to say. If this kind of program was public information, and let's say it was going on in Venezuela or Russia, one of our geopolitical rivals, I can guarantee that, most of the members of Congress, they'd be slamming the table. They'd be talking about how we have to have economic sanctions. We have to defend the civil liberties of the Venezuelan people or wherever this hypothetical program is taking place. But in our own country, whenever these things come about, all we do is we give more power to the government. And it's a long cycle of abuse where we have, the public, when Edward Snowden leaks came out, the public and the media, you get really outraged. But then when it actually comes time for Congress to go in there and exert some pressure, reform these types of abuses, the exact opposite occurs. And we give more power to the government. If you don't mind, I would kind of like to go back in time a little bit. Again, most people aren't familiar with that term 702, and it's just part of this long road of that same cycle that I'm talking about. The FISA court, that came about in 1978, and that was really a reaction to, Watergate, FBI and CIA spying programs, and that was supposed to, set everything in place. And that started out to where this FISA court, they could only give the government the power to surveil if the suspected target was a foreign agent or a suspected terrorist. So then came along the Bush administration, and the scandal with Stellar Wind program came about, became public information. That scandal surfaced where it turned out that the Bush administration, they were doing warrantless wiretapping of, roughly 500 Americans or so. And that alone, each wireless warrant was, he could have had about 20 years in prison. I think that's the term, for each one of those wireless, warrants. But instead of, punishing this type of crime, what Congress did in 2008, they set up the 702 program, which enabled that, it basically legalized that sort of corruption and then gave the government more power. And so, in other words, this 702 program, it was just reauthorized. There were a few people, and again, not everyone in Congress is morally corrupt. Rand Paul tried to filibuster it. Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, they tried to filibuster it. And this was, again, on the day after Martin Luther King Day. But eventually, in a bipartisan manner, Congress, they did authorize this. The one thing that they tried to point to was a reform where they said that, well, if the FBI is going to go and look at this information, they have to get a warrant. And that's sort of how the news portrayed it. But in reality, the only actual reform that was made was it says if the FBI, if you're currently under investigation of a crime, then the FBI has to get a warrant. But if you're not under investigation, they don't have to get a warrant. So I could give a basic
So that's a really important distinction, right? It's just like the exclusionary rule. The exclusionary rule doesn't say the cops can't break into your house without a warrant and take stuff. It says that if they do that, they can't use that stuff in court against you later. Right. So it's the same kind of thing here. Oh, no, you're not under investigation. We're just spying on you, not investigating you.
Right. So think about it. You know, most people, you know, they're law-abiding citizens. But let's say their neighbor is a member of, you know, the Sinaloa cartel. They're a notorious gangster. And their neighbor is under investigation. So in that example, the FBI has to get a warrant to spy on them or to use that information for their, you know, for their investigation. But you, the law-abiding citizen, they can go through whatever records that they have in that database.
And now, so wait, let me reiterate this just to make sure that I understand it and make sure everybody's clear what we're talking about here. The NSA, with a very low standard, can tap anything outside the United States that they want, and they can tap anything inside the United States that they can claim by the most broadest definition that they make up only is relevant, and they've argued that relevant means basically anything, and we know that they tap all international calls in and out of this country and that kind of thing. And so, but now what you're saying is, and I think Americans by and large go, you know what, the NSA can't prosecute me, right? So if they're spying on me and they know about me, like, who really cares, because they're the military sort of, and their only job is messing with people overseas and all that, so it's not really a problem. But now you're saying, nope, the federal cops now have access, the FBI has access to everything the NSA sweeps up, and they can just surreptitiously go about, basically go on a fishing expedition against anyone that they choose, find something that they can turn into a prosecutable offense, and then, as you say, do this parallel construction where they pretend that they came about whatever evidence by some other means so that you can't even challenge it in court, and then off you go. And this, to me, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different things you could put in this place, but it doesn't seem like this goes to the very core of American freedom and whether we have any left or not, whether there's actually anything exceptional left about living in this society. You know, isn't this the place where, hey, you can't do this? People, you say, hey, this is America. And that just kind of implied, it just meant, they didn't have to finish the sentence. That meant, hey, there's a limit on what you can do to me, dude. You know, but now that's just over.
Right. Well, and I kind of would like to point out one other thing. This isn't new. As far as that parallel construction aspect, again, as far as public information, this is what's been dragged out from the government through Freedom of Information requests. That goes back to 1992. The DEA's used it. The IRS has used it. Those are the two that we know of. But again, the FBI can pass that information on to any law enforcement agency that they deem appropriate. So this was the opportunity for Congress to do something about it. Again, and this is what I like to point to, it's that cycle of the outrage. When the Snowden leaks came out, I mean, there was pretty much universal outrage. But again, when it actually comes time to reform it, most people didn't. This whole 702 thing didn't really come through their news feed, or if they did, most media outlets didn't really give it a lot of attention. But there's just multiple aspects to it. A lot of folks, the point that you were touching upon earlier, the basic privacy issue. Most people think, oh, well, what are they going to do? They're going to listen to my phone calls. Well, I don't really care. And that there is, you know, there's something to that as well. In many cases, the NSA, they have abused those privileges. There's actually a term in the intelligence community where it's called love int, short for love intelligence, where they spy upon their lovers or wannabe lovers. And, you know, nobody really ever faces any serious consequences for this. And there's just numerous, there's so many of these scandals. And in fact, there was a scandal that was, revealed on the same day that this bill was signed into law. And going back to what I was talking about with the Bush era warrantless wiretap scandal, the NSA was supposed to hold on to all of that information because there's pending lawsuits you know, that are in the courts, but they revealed that accidentally that information had been deleted. And that was on the same day that this FISA bill was reauthorized.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just this constant lack of credibility on their part, but we continue to give more and more power. And when you're talking, again, that subject of the average American, the thing that's really always bothered me is that public opinion on this issue, it switches by administration to administration. So in other words, if you're a Democrat and there's a Republican in office, polls show that's when you care about this issue because you fear the power of the government when it's the opposition party in power. And vice versa. If you're a Republican, that's when you really care about, you know, the NSA spying issue. It's when the other party's in power. You know what?
That's fair enough. That would be fair enough if the whole society was 20 or something. And yet, but haven't you been through a few administrations back and forth right by now and see how this works or what? You know?
Right. In other words, yeah, exactly. Bush and Obama, they paid lip service to civil liberties. They at least pretended. And you would think that, you know, with this Trump administration, he's not even pretending, that would at least change a little bit of this narrative. And the other thing is, again, the biggest proponent of signing this bill was Nunez. And, you know, all of the controversy that's going on there with the FISA courts. Yet at the same time, you're using that narrative that the government's abusing its power for in domestic spying. Yet we got to give them more power, and the cycle just continues on and on.
Yeah, you know what, man? Sorry to interrupt, but it's sort of relevant, kind of. Did you read the article about James Madison, the Washington Post, yesterday, and how his job is reining in Trump on this and that? So, you know, and one thing, it's like he's reining him in on Iran. Trump wants options to shoot up Iran's little fiberglass speedboats in the Persian Gulf. And Mattis says, yeah, I'll get to that. And then never does get to that. And so we go, wow,
of course not.
Thank goodness we have this adult here to temper our dear leader's moods or whatever. But then at the end of the article, it's Trump saying, yeah, but why do we even have troops in Somalia anyway? I don't want to have troops. What if we just pull them out? Why don't, geez, you guys want troops all across North Africa too? You guys want me to have troops everywhere. And Mattis, and you know, this is hearsay in the Washington Post, I don't know. But in the story, Mattis says, well, we're trying to prevent a terrorist from attacking Times Square. When, of course, everybody knows the Times Square attack was direct retaliation for the drone war in Pakistan against the Tariqi Taliban that had never attacked us before or since, by the way. But anyway, then he says, we don't have a choice. He says, you don't have a choice, Mr. President. This is it. Right. And I don't know exactly how you take that. It sounds like he's just saying, oh, because we must keep denying safe havens or else they'll come after us. You know, but then again, you could also read that like, you know what? The Marine Corps is here to stay and you're not. So this is our jobs program and we're not giving it up.
Right. The military industrial complex isn't going anywhere. Your administration has a finite end. But yeah, and that's the thing. We don't have to sacrifice our civil liberties and still maintain basic national security. Again, that's what, you know, I'm talking about. It's that mission creep. The original FISA law was just suspected terrorist or foreign agent. And then when the scandals unfolded, we expanded the definition in these programs so that we didn't have to actually punish any wrongdoers. And I think a really interesting example, is Ricardo Martinelli. Most people are not familiar with that name. He's the former president of Panama, and he lives in Miami, and he's facing extradition for a domestic spying scandal. And he'll probably be extradited. Now, there's all kinds of politics behind that. He has business ties to Trump. In particular, he was one of the biggest proponents for Trump's Ocean Tower, I think that's what it's called, which was basically a money laundering hub for Colombian cartels and Russian organized crime. So there's that backdrop. But again, I like to give that example of when it happens in our own country, we're really blind to this stuff. But when we see it in another country, you know, of course, that guy, he was engaged in domestic spying. He should go to prison. But again, in our own country, we give more power to the government.
Hey, people keep telling me, man, you got great show notes on your show nowadays. And that's all thanks to Damon, who's doing the great editing and posting of the interview. So everybody make sure and check out, even if you're just signed up to the podcast feed, make sure and check out the entries at libertarianinstitute.org and at scotthorton.org for all the great show notes. He's doing a really great job on that. And now, here's the sponsors of the show that makes the show possible, so you should help to make them possible. That's Zencash, zensystem.io, a great new digital currency. It's also a secure messaging app and all this great stuff. You can read all about it, zensystem.io. And then Mike Swanson is really my best sponsor, and in two ways here. The War State, first of all, which is a great history of the rise of the military-industrial complex after World War II. And then also his investment advice informed by great libertarian economic theory. That's all at wallstreetwindow.com. And now when you follow his investment advice, which I'm sure includes in precious metals, and so what you want to do is go to Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. That's rrbi.co, rrbi.co for your gold, silver, platinum, or palladium. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there's no premium at all. That's rrbi.co for Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. And then, of course, get your anti-government propaganda at libertystickers.com. New art and a brand new website coming soon. And speaking of brand new websites, if you want a brand new website, a 2018 model, badass new website, then you just go to expanddesigns.com/Scott, and you'll save $500. Well, and you know, here's part of the thing, too, and we're seeing this with Trump, where it's kind of not even a secret, right? There's the famous quote from Charles Schumer. And he's saying, you can't cross the intelligence community. They have 10 ways from Sunday for getting back at you. So you dare not. And he wasn't saying, yes, this is something we all live with as representatives. He was like speaking for them, threatening Trump, or like being like, you know, kind of a cynical warning that, like, hey, let me tell you something, buddy. You know, not that I like you or anything, but let me do you a favor here. Don't you cross the CIA. They'll crucify your ass. And it's like, really? I mean, even out of the mouth of a senator whose entire job should be, at the very minimum, keeping up the pretense that he's the boss, not the CIA, you know?
Right. And the thing is, there have been NSA whistleblowers. Again, what I'm talking about here is just the letter of the law. I'm not talking about what actually goes on beyond it. I mean, there have been whistleblowers who have talked about this type of stuff. One of them is Bill Binney, and he's on Fox News all the time now, again, because it helps you know, that narrative. Now they want to use the deep state narrative now that it sort of helps the Republican Party. But, you know, again, that will fade out when there's a Democrat back in office. But one of the things that Bill Binney and a number of other NSA whistleblowers have said is that basically all of your communications are tapped. Everything, not just these things that we're debating about, the letter of the law. And that goes back to, there's a different whistleblower in particular, Russell Tice. And he said specifically, going back to when Barack Obama was just a state senator, he was monitored. He mentioned, you know, U.S. Supreme Court judges. So basically, it's Hoover on steroids. You know, now with all this technology, you have so much more power than the days of Hoover. So yeah, I think exactly what you're saying. Like Schumer, there's cracking the whip saying, get back in line. You know, every little bit of your personal information can be taken out of context. And again, I'm no fan of Trump at all. But it, you know, if this stuff goes forward, you know, it has to be done in a principled way. You have to set a precedent. You can't just do illegal spying to gain your evidence.
Yep. And there should be a lesson for the right here. You know, when the CIA apparently accidentally turned over their own honest internal investigation of the torture program to the Senate investigators, and then they got mad that the Senate investigators had it, the staff of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And then the CIA tried to sick the FBI on these staffers and have them prosecuted for this. In other words, they were really taking on Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on this torture issue, as though the CIA is a separate and equal branch of government alongside the president, the Senate, and the courts themselves. And when their job, you know, whatever you think of Dianne Feinstein or Trump or any of these people, right, is to say yes, ma'am, to her. Her name is ma'am to them, period, full stop. She's the boss, not them, or else the Constitution is completely meaningless. And yet, you see how brave Brennan acted against her, but the Republicans didn't defend her then, and now look at them, where you have these exact same people were the ones who began this investigation against Donald Trump and tried. I think the Republican narrative here is you know, more or less correct, that these guys decided that we're going to prevent this guy from being elected. And then when that didn't work, they decided they were going to trump up this Russia BS to try to bring him down early. And, you know, they see themselves as the guardians of, I wouldn't give him as much credit as to say us, but they thought that he was really a threat to the order of federal power and American global power. He had bad-mouthed NATO a little bit. So just where anti-NATO fools believed in him for that reason, these people were terrified of him, that he actually meant any of the things that he said about what, you know, his foreign policy was going to be when he expressed reservations.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, I was going to say, the thing that I've never understood is, I mean, again, if you look at it, there's all kinds of just normal criminal investigations that you could go into his background there. I mean, it's pretty well above board. But the whole Russia hacking narrative, again, I still haven't seen any real evidence of that. So, exactly. That whole thing has mystified me. And again, exactly, we have to set, if you're going to go through this process, you have to set an appropriate precedent. It has to be done in an appropriate manner. And the Democrats, they're all for this, you know, abuse of power to get him out of there. But what happens when a Democrat gets back in office and then, you know, the Republican, you know, military industrial state or whatever term you want to use, when they don't like that guy, and then, you know, and they can abuse whatever rules possible and use all that power to push their guy out of office. It's really a scary process. And kind of to get back to what we're really talking about is, if this can happen, you know, to people at a high level of power, you can only imagine what happens to the average person who can't fight back against the power of the federal government.
Yeah. And yeah, it really is too bad about the partisanship and how crippling that is. When, especially with the Snowden leak, you know, people, it's been a little while since I've talked about this, but if you just type in EFF, for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. EFF and NSA, and you will find the full collection of every Snowden document that's ever been released and every accompanying news story that came with it when they published it. And any of us can go through there, learn about this, see just how bad it is, see all of James Bamford's terrible, and I mean that in a good way, reporting about how horrible all this stuff is, all confirmed and in spades in all the Snowden documents, and see the extent of this. I mean, we ought to be able to mobilize all of American public opinion, left, right, libertarian, and everybody else, that this is crossing the line.
It's a bipartisan issue, absolutely. You know? This is across the board. Well, I'll give you the one concession that they made. It was about what they called about information, and it can get really complex. But to try and be overly simple, if somebody mentions somebody who's a target, that used to be something that they could collect, and with enough pressure, that was something that the NSA decided to publicly end, the about collection. But with this new bill, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but I've read different legal experts. They say with the wording and the language of this new bill that reopened the one concession that they were willing to make, at least publicly. It's really disturbing.
All right, man. Well, listen, I'm sorry because instead of ranting and raving at you this whole time, I really should have spared time because I wanted to ask you about this article. To Ted Cruz, further militarizing Mexico's drug war is a horrible idea, but that's going to have to wait till next time because I got to go. But this has really been great. I really appreciate your time on the show, and I hope we can get a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, good deal. Okay, guys, that is Brian Sadie. Check him out at antiwar.com here. The article is, with the shutdown over, the government can go back to suppressing your rights. And he's the author of a 3-book series, Rackets, about legalizing drugs, gambling, and prostitution, which is great. The website is Brian Sadie. Again, that's 2 A's in Sadie. BrianSadie.com. And you guys know me, .com, etc. You know what it is.